Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Thanks for tuning in and turning us on. I'm Susan Dolce, and again, I have the honor and privilege of filling in for Dr. Pat today. And I know it's not confidential, so I'm going to say, hey, can everybody send Dr. Pat good vibes? Because she is having her knee replacement surgery today, I believe. I think it's today. So let's send her all sorts of light and love. So today, we are talking about the science of friendship. And as the saying goes, you know, friends are the family that you can choose. But we know how important friends are in our lives, and we've especially learned that this year during the pandemic, during lockdown, being isolated from our friends and family. But there's a lot more riding on the quantity and the quality of our friendships that we may not realize that really affect both our mental and our physical health. And so who better to discuss friendship with than my dear friend and colleague, Leone Dyer. Leone wears many hats. She is an empowerment coach, ka-ching, former educator, ka-ching, Special Olympics coach, and an overall pretty awesome friend. So I've got good company here to talk about friendship. Hey, Leone, welcome to the show.
Hello, Susan. Thank you. I'm excited. Yeah.
I know. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So since we're friends and we're talking about friendship, I think it'd be fun to share how we met, and then we can get into all of the other details of why friends are so important. But we were both in the coaching program together. So what, was this 4 or 5 years ago?
Oh, it was in 2017.
So I'm glad that you remember the years, because I'd be like, But yeah, so we were in the coaching program together, and we were placed in a small group. So like, you know, like every once a month we had to meet as with like 3 or 4 people. And we kind of had a little understanding of like, you know, Leone's a country girl, Leone, right?
Yeah. Yes. I live in the country.
grew up on a farm.
Yes. In Maine, Western Maine in the mountains. And yeah, that's where I am now.
And I grew up in a city, Chicago girl, city girl through and through, know everything about street smarts and pavement and things like that. So we didn't really get to know each other really well until we were on a plane for, 4 hours together, flying to LA for the retreat. And, you know, it's one of those where we kind of like, we already kind of knew each other a little bit, but when you get on that plane seat, you sit down and you're like, you know, I hope this is going to work. We're either going to hit it off or we're just going to be reading our books.
And we actually, we met each other at the airport. Mm-hmm. It was our connecting, and I had a different seat. I didn't know what your seat number was. We didn't exchange that information because that's a little, you know.
Right, right.
We weren't quite friends yet. We were friends, but yeah. And so I switched with the person in the middle seat. So I ended up getting a middle seat, which I'm just like, it's out of my comfort zone. But I knew as we were standing there talking, like, okay, I want to sit next to her for this flight. So,
Thank you. Yeah, but we had some deep conversations even those first 4 hours. And we've been fast friends ever since, regardless of, you know, city girl, country girl. So we've kind of got that going on. But, you know, I mentioned COVID and how so many relationships have been impacted and how loneliness has really kind of found its, crept its way into, you know, the corners of everybody's life. And part of the reason we decided to talk about this today is, well, it was Leon's idea. So thank you, Leon. But it was how our friendship really sustained us when we were, you know, in isolation with our families. Our kids are about the same ages. You have a son and a daughter. I have three daughters. And my kids were all back with me. You had a kid come back with you.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just isolation as empty nesters. It wasn't just me and my husband. It wasn't just you and Dan. Now we had to deal with our adult children. I deal with sounds kind of harsh.
No, but it was. Let's just be honest. I mean, if you are empty nesters and your adult children come home, it's completely different than when your 20-something children come home who are college age. There's still that little bit of parental guidance. Adult children, that's another whole category that I didn't buy the book on how to raise your adult children.
Is there one? Because if there's one, I want to buy it. I think I
Well, need. Someone needs to write it because, and I realized I couldn't dump my insecurities onto my daughter because she was going through so much. I mean, she lost her job. She lost her apartment. She lost her friends. She was living in New York City and my husband literally moved her in the middle of the night to get her back home last March. So all of my, and it wasn't all frustration. There was a lot of joy that happened with her being home. Mm-hmm. But Susan and I walked through this together, literally since last March. Is that when we started doing our
I could probably pull up the email because I still go to the same link every time.
Yeah.
We get together every Friday at 4 o'clock and it's our happy hour. And sometimes Leon doesn't have a cocktail. I think I always have a cocktail, the reason I was laughing is because in my, the email says serenity call. And, I always refer to it as happy hour with Leon. But it was a serenity call. It was a check-in for both of us just to have a safe, judgment-free place to.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just that our kids or our children had moved back home and interrupted the flow that we had with our husbands. I was also stuck home with my husband, because nothing was open. I couldn't, we weren't going to the gym. I couldn't go, shopping was crazy. So forget that. Mm-hmm. It just, all of a sudden we were home. It's like, wow.
And Dan travels a lot.
Yeah. Well, he did.
Well, yes. It's not just now you're occupying the same space, but now you're all your time is together.
Really? Yeah. 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 I had a friend once who was married to a merchant marine. And so that was the best marriage. It was her third marriage because he was gone for 6 months or maybe 3 months. And she would miss him. He would come home and she'd be like, yay, the first month. Okay. We're getting into it. The second month, third month. All right. Ready to go again. And it was that rotation and it was just the perfect marriage. I get it now. Because, somewhere around June, I'm like, when are you leaving? Yeah. But yeah, so this definitely, our friendship blossomed and was my anchor during COVID.
Well, and the other thing I think is really funny about that is so now if something comes up, we were going to be traveling on a Friday, my husband and I were, or the same thing with Leon's husband, it's like, wait a minute, you're not going to have your call. They will jump through hoops so that we get our time together because after we're done, and it's not about the cocktail. It's about just having that time to share and hang out and that we just come out happier and happy to be with them and see them. And they will go to great lengths to facilitate that call for us.
And there is reason for that. And when we come back, we're going to go on a break soon. But when we come back, I'll like dive into the boring science of friendship that I, but there's an actual reason why we feel that way.
Well, since you segued us right into that, why don't we go ahead and take that break now? You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Susan Dolce, and I'm talking with Leone Dyer today about friendship, and we will be right back.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there's things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. You can find me at hannahvelton.online.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no. Or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Susan Dolce, and I am filling in for Dr. Pat today. And I am talking with my dear friend and colleague, Leone Dyer, and we're talking about the science of friendship. We were talking about how desperately, I can say that, we needed each other during the pandemic, and how our friendship really was a safe container, a safe space for us to just vent and chat. But Leone, you have done some more research on the science of friendship, and there's some interesting data on how our friendship, or not our friendship, friendships correlate to the primates, the monkey world.
The monkey world. So I read this article in Scientific American. It was written by Lydia Dunworth, and it is "With a Little Help from Our Friends," and it's the biological blessing of friendship. And they studied chimpanzees for over a 20-year period. And they noticed that chimpanzees kind of had the same group of friends. You would have your mate, your children, and your, what it was, a group of chimpanzees are called?
Your grouping.
You would have your grouping. But then chimpanzees, both male and female, had kind of their besties. I mean, it was
really
one or two chimpanzees that they would gravitate towards. And these were the chimpanzees that would pick the bugs off you. So your mate may, or mm-hmm. you may do it to your children, the mm-hmm. chimpanzees. But it was really your best friend that you would allow that would be the person who would groom you.
It's really intimate.
And this is probably why, if you ladies, I'll jump in here. A large group of 30 or more, up to 150, are called communities.
Oh, community. So, community.
Okay, thank you. The chimpanzee community.
There we go.
Thank you. He was over there Googling that.
I totally was.
Well, because what? You know, like, some, they've got weird names for like groups of animals. Like, would it be a herd? It's not a gaggle of monkeys. So thanks. I appreciate it. So it's a community, just like we live in communities.
Okay. Right. So the community of chimpanzees, while you have your larger group, and then you would have kind of your more family-ish group, you also, chimpanzees have best friends. And both male and female, more female than male. So while they were researching this, they realized that when they, especially during like grooming or when they would just be sitting with one another, they would release high levels of oxytocin. So I found this interesting because I remember being, if you're a mom, mm-hmm. so 25 years ago, oxytocin is... the chemical that is released during childbirth. And that is what, like, we're getting way into it now, but that is what like allows the uterus to open. Mm-hmm. And it also, after you have the child, it's also is released during the nursing mm-hmm. process. Yeah. So, but yet they were not, this was not a mother-daughter relationship. This was a friend-friend relationship. And so they started like then moving this data to humans.
Okay.
So humans, when they have a good bond, a good friendship, they too release oxytocin. So oxytocin has been named the, I think it's called the love drug or the love hormone, or, you know, because it's involved, because when you have a mate, your oxytocin goes up a little. Like when you first have that, like, oh, he might be the one, or the, you know, yeah. you get a little, you know, and then after you get married, you're like, yeah, okay, now I need a best friend. But we need that oxytocin. The oxytocin actually helps us feel better. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people who are depressed and going through anxiety, they're not releasing that chemical.
Well, and okay, so let's put that into consideration with, you know, when we weren't allowed to hug each other, you know, for like for years now. And now I'm kind of curious, it's like, you know, with, we're huggers in my family and with our really good friends, we're huggers. And, you know, there's been times where like we've gotten together as a group, like outside or whatever, and we're like, you know. Mm. Air hug.
The elbow. Do the elbow.
Yeah. Or it just feels so weird to mm-hmm. not be able to, and so I hope the hug has not died because of this pandemic. And you told me the other day that your daughter conveyed to you that every person is supposed to have 8 hugs a day. And then Benny made such a good correlation that you're supposed to have 8 glasses of water a day. So drink your water and hug each other. So that's basically.
Or hug yourself after you drink the water. You're like, good for you. Oh, good for you, Benny. Good for you.
Our oxytocin is going up as we
right.
speak. Yeah.
I'm curious about that. Like there's a comedian I follow on Facebook. She's hysterical. So she's does this morning show now from her kitchen every day. And her mom is really super close with her kids. And they had all quarantined so they could all meet down at the shore. And they had all taken COVID tests so that grandma and grandpa and all the kids, the whole family could be together. And when they got there, grandma was uncomfortable. Like she kind of had to warm up to the idea of being hugged again.
Hmm.
I know, right? And, you know, I'm sorry, I always bring this up, but that's the one thing. So if you follow my show, I have a show on the network called Three Things I've Learned. My mom passed away in November. And the one thing, I was supposed to go see her the next day. So the day she died like hours before I was supposed to go see her. And I'd finally gotten clearance to go see her. And the one thing I couldn't wait to do was give her a hug, because we hadn't had any physical contact for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's something about hugging and oxytocin. And like we were joking around in the break, I called it friend juice. But we need that, you know?
Well, and that, and speaking of your mom, that is watching my parents. My parents are very social people and they're in their late 70s, early 80s. And during COVID, they haven't been able to communicate or be with their little groups of friends that they would hang out with on a regular basis. And they have each other and they live in an extended family. So they have that. But there is realizing, like, so last Friday or two Friday, I don't remember, a Friday during our call, I kind of had a little meltdown. And the next day I was very thankful. And I went through a gratitude release that I was able to have that spew with Susan. So, and Susan held the space and there was no judgment and I felt no judgment. And I was just so grateful for that. And I realized that my parents don't have that. My mm-hmm. mother isn't able to sit with her friends around coffee like she used to, or my father, you know, in the country, you sit on the back of your truck, tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, and they don't have that. And my dad's an outdoor person, so they would be out in the woods doing things. They, and how sad, and that their friendship, because of COVID, their friendship community has been separated.
Yeah.
And I've seen them become depressed because of it. I've seen their lack of energy because of it. Your mom mm-hmm. and my mother-in-law both were in homes where they did not have that contact, that friendship contact.
Well, and that's what was so, I mean, I think so many people that have loved ones in long-term care, nursing home facilities, or whatever, you know, in a lot of ways, they tried to do their best to find ways for us to connect with them, but they weren't even connecting within their community. Mm-hmm. Like my mom had to eat alone in her room pretty much from the end of March till the day that she passed. Part of the reason she was so excited to move to this community was because it has such a vibrant social community, so many activities. You know, she was very excited. We'd moved her from Cincinnati, where we were living, up here to Michigan. And she was going to be close to me. I could take her out. There was this community had so much more going on than the place that she was living in. And she wanted, you know, she loved that social life. And I know I've said to you, I think, in some ways, I think she died of a broken heart. You know, I know that wasn't the real what actually, you know, took her life, but I think she was just desperately lonely, and that, you know, especially even for that physical contact. Because she, when we get off the phone, or you know, we would FaceTime, and she'd be like, "Air hugs, honey, air hugs." Aww. And you know, someday we'll get to hug again, and I'd be like, "Yes, someday we'll get to hug again." Mm-hmm. So,
and we are wired to have friends mm-hmm. from beginning all the way through all the stages of our life, including elderly life. And I think it's more vital at that point to have that connection. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we lost it. I think, and we've talked about this, how we grew up and how our children grew up, or mm-hmm. places that we've lived where that connection of friendship was lost.
And yeah. I was going to say that's another good place to segue into a break, because when we come back, I want to talk about making friends in your 40s and 50s. Like if you move to a new community, those were some dark years for me. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, and we'll be right back. Don't tie it again.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Trish Laub from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about Care Hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your Care Hero tip of the day. During all Care Hero journeys, the need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge Care Heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. Just as every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop, my family's Care Hero power tool was the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desired. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm Susan Dolce, and I am filling in for Dr. Pat today. Always an honor and a privilege to be here. And I'm talking with my bestie, Leone Dyer. We're talking about the science of friendship. And before break, I said that when we come back, I really want to talk about making friends in your 40s and 50s. Because we lived in the northwest suburbs of Chicago for 16-ish years. And when Phil and I talk about those times, like our, you know, when our girls were little or whatever, we always refer to it as Camelot. because it was just this amazing community of people. And, you know, I don't know if it was each individual person per se, but it was like this just set of values and friendships that really everybody had everybody's back. Like if you had a baby, you were going to get more food than you could probably feed your family with. I mean, everybody was there to like shuffle your kids around, bring you a meal, help you with an appointment. And, you know, we met a lot of these people like coming up through preschool, you know, through our church community. And not everybody went to the same schools and churches. Some of our very, very best couple friends were our neighbors. Our kids never attended the same schools. We didn't go to the same church or anything like that. But it was just this different sort of environment where everybody just had everybody's backs. So then fast forward to 2008, and we moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. And Cincinnati, nothing bad about Cincinnati, Ohio. It is an amazing town. Like, it is super accessible. You want a great ballet, you want a football game, you want baseball, you want good dining. It's all there. It's a great community. But I got there and I just assumed that I would do what I always did, you know, like I'll join our local parish and I'll find, you know, some groups in there and make friends. And not only did those things not exist, like those church groups that I was familiar with, I was 45. And so part of the other realization was that by the time you're in your 40s and your 50s, everybody's kind of got their friend groups, right? Like people are solid. And so it's, you know, so I'm not sure if it was the community being sort of insular or if it's just, you know, you don't have necessarily room in your life to take on another friend.
Well, this is also, I mean, think about when you're young, when you're a child, like in daycare or whatever, you see and you want to connect with that other kid. You want to play with their toy. So if you want to play with their toy, you either take it or you become their friend. Mm-hmm. And then as we and then you're not their friend.
Right.
But, and you learn very quickly. But we're kind of friends with everyone. Remember when you were in, you know, kindergarten, first grade, it was a birthday party and everyone was invited. And then as we start to become more independent and understand our likes and dislikes, our friendships kind of get more narrow. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of going through the same things. We're kind of going through the same middle school, which is horrible.
Across the board. I don't think anybody has a positive middle school experience.
No. And then high school is just, you know, if you can make it through high school, you can make it through life. And you have a group of friends, but you have that one person or two or three that you make it through with. You rely on them. Same thing with your 20s. It's college. But then somehow we start becoming incredibly independent. We no longer have that one bond of school or the old neighborhood, mm-hmm. or something, you know, that mm-hmm. bond. And we have to rely on ourselves. And that's when the triggers come in. Am I worthy to be their friends? Mm-hmm. Am I likable? What are, you know, if two friends walk away together, you don't have that trust built up. Like, why didn't they take me? Are they, you know, so I think our triggers in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and maybe beyond really hold us back from making friends.
So when you're talking about, when you call, like, so I have this conversation with my youngest daughter quite often, who is a junior in college. So understand, but I always say, you know, do you want to collect friends or do you want to be a friend? Like, what's more important to you? Do you want to have a whole bunch of people that you can go out and socialize with, or do you want some, you know, quality friendships? But in one of the articles, this might be Lydia Denworth again, pardon me, she says that having a greater quantity of social interactions in one's 20s predicted better social connections and better mental health outcomes, less depression, anxiety, higher overall being in middle age. But the formula was different as participants entered their 30s. At that point, it seems it was more beneficial to go to deep and to go deeper and cultivate higher quality friendships. So it's sort of like at the, you know, in that time in your life, in your 20s, I guess navigating that many friendships helps you, and this is my opinion, helps you understand the kind of friend you want in your life and the kind of friend you want to be. Yeah? What do you think?
Oh, and what's important also. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of like, you know, the whole dating. Like, how many people did you date before you met Phil? You don't have to say.
I mean, yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, but I mean, just, you know.
I don't know, Leon, how many did you date before you met Dan? Okay, go on, I'm sorry.
But so it's kind of like, I'll be very, you know, transparent here. When Dan and I met, we dated, but then we went to two different colleges, two different cities. So I continued dating and it was a checkoff list. Like, yeah, I like that. No, don't like that. And I kept comparing them to Dan. Hence I married Dan. But so as friends, we know what we want in a friend. We know that and we also start becoming more attuned to who we are and what we like. And I think we're not as insecure as we, even though we have the triggers, I think when we find that person and it's the right fit, like, okay, they align with everything that I am. Even we might not have to agree with everything, but it's almost like, okay, if you believe in life contracts, you know, so we come here with a contract. It's kind of like,
oh, don't get me started. You know where I'll go with that.
So. I know, but I totally believe, like, I have friends. I have no clue why they're my friend, not you, but I have no clue why they're my friend because I have nothing in common with them.
Yeah.
But we connect and I know we're a deep friend. If you're in tune to your true self, I think you will make the friend. If you are going with your ego, I don't think you're going to make that solid friend. Mm-hmm. But you'll make acquaintances. I think, yeah, that's my theory on that. But
yeah, and I guess that was my cautionary tale is that, you know, to my daughter is that acquaintances are great. You know, it's fun to have a bunch of people to, you know, go out with and hang, especially when your 21st birthday is about to roll around. but you know, who are the people who are going to have your back? And God, I hope she's not listening, but, because she has called people out for being cruddy friends. Like, she's like, I can't believe you're talking about this. You say this person is your friend. And you're talking like that about them behind their back. Like, so she is definitely in that time in her life where she is, you know, creating those check boxes of this is what I want in a friend. This is somebody who I feel safe with. This is somebody I can confide in. 20s can be rocky.
Oh, I would not want to go through my 20s again. No. And I had friends, but yeah, no, that was a rough one.
Yeah,
for sure.
One of the other things that came across this study that was, and I really I didn't go deeper into the research, but I found this interesting and I know I'm not supposed to use that word. Okay. Interesting is a cop-out word. I say that all the time, but it's even in this quote, and that is, it talks about ambivalent friendships. So if you're not best friends or they're not an acquaintance and they're kind of just hanging out in your life, it says, what was interesting was that any relationship that was categorized as ambivalent seemed to generate cardiovascular issues and other kinds of health problems.
Because you were not producing oxytocin.
So, ding, ding, yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized.
And that's when I realized, segue.
Preview to Leon and I are going to, here in the upcoming months, we're going to be hosting a regular show. That's probably going to be the title of it. I hope that's when I realized, because that's when we make all the connections, right? When somebody says, and that's when I realized, that's when the nugget of truth or juiciness, then you're like, you kind of on the edge of your seat, like, what'd you realize? You know, so
what did you, yeah, what's the information?
But yeah, I didn't put that together when we talked about that. Yeah, oxytocin, man, it's the friend juice.
The friend juice. And we need it. We are wired to get it, and we're wired to have it. We're supposed to have it. So it's the friends. If you're not giving childbirth, it has to be a friend.
Well, yeah. And the other thing that you, one of the other chimpanzee, we're coming up on another break in a little bit, but one of the other chimpanzee statistics or facts that you gave me, which I thought was really funny, is that like it wasn't just friend to friend. So it was like, and you might've even mentioned this. So it wasn't like mate to mate, right? So I said, again, I guess that's a bad idea that I'm cutting my husband's hair then. I shouldn't be grooming him, that I should have, that you should fly in and give him
yeah. You know, no. Right.
No.
Yeah. There's something, yeah. I mean, but think about that. Like, think about the trust value.
Yeah.
Like you have with your friend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And
I would trust you to cut his hair.
Well, yeah. That might end our friendship.
Yes. No, I
my
never.
Very best friend, and I don't know how much time we have, but my very best friend, she's still a great friend. We were roommates, and in college, I didn't have money to cut my hair, so she cut my hair for me. If she's listening, it almost ended our friendship. I went with it, and I ended up getting the shortest haircut I had ever had, which turned out to be like my most favorite haircut. But yeah, I let her cut my hair.
Well, that's, would you ever let me cut your hair?
No, I learned my lesson well.
Okay. All right. We're going to take another quick break. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. We are talking about the science of friendship, and we'll be right back.
Creating and living the Octurian Way, soul design for self-enlightenment and self-healing. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio, the second and the fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with me, Vivian Chauvet. As we transcend the third dimensional plane of reality, we move into higher realms of existence. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as divine essence of light, and unite our voices to successfully manifest ascension on Earth. For information on our services, Copper Art Store, and to connect with me, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com. That is infinitehealingfromthestars.com. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with me, Vivian Chauvet.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way.
Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit nancylandrum.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Susan Dolce, and I am talking with my bestie, Leon Dyer, about the science of friendship, because there is actually, I mean, I guess we all on some level know that there's, research around friendship and health and well-being, mental health, physical health. And one of the things we wanted to talk about in regards to not just friendship, but family is communal living, like in how our friends and our family impact, everything, our daily lives. Like when I grew up, so even though I grew up in a city, I can say in retrospect, I feel like I was really blessed to be able to kind of grow up in a communal sort of environment. My grandparents, owned, so it was a double wide lot. You know, city folk know what I'm talking about, which was kind of a rare thing to have. And it was a very long, narrow lot. So there was a bigger house in the front that had like three separate apartment dwellings. And then there was, I said, what did I call it? I said a back house. And you told me that's an outhouse. I was like, okay, no, yeah. It's a coach house.
Well, that's what we called the outhouse was the back house.
Back house. Cause I like, I grew up in the back house and Leon's like, what? No, it was a coach house, smaller house in the back with just a few bedrooms. And, but so I grew up, we lived there till like I was nine and my grandparents lived in the house. So they were always there. At some point, cousins were always coming in and out of living in those apartments. And then when we moved, we went far. We went five houses down from where we were living. So it wasn't, but back then, one of the things we were talking about is how child rearing was so different back then too. But like, if I grew up right across the street from railroad tracks, so I got the railroad tracks in the front and the back house. But if anybody got caught playing by those railroad tracks, you would get picked up by the scruff of the neck and carried home to your house, to your mom or whoever, grandma, whoever was there. And the parents were really grateful, that you saved their child's behind from getting run over by a train. And there wasn't any, animosity. Like everybody was like, thank you. And it's not like that anymore. That's a whole different tangent. I'm the one going off on a parenting tangent. But now it's like, what business do you have, grabbing my child?
I think I want to do that. I want that to be one of our shows.
Yeah.
Is multi-generational living and how we've like stepped away from that as a society.
So, so communal living, like all living together on the same property. Like, again, might be one of the saving graces for your mom and dad is that they're not living alone.
Correct. They're not. Well, and I grew up in the country. I'm the country mouse and I grew up on 500 acres, but, I didn't have a little double lot.
We had a massive
lot. But that being said, everyone around us, were cousins and aunts and uncles, we were all family and everyone knew each other. And Yes, it was like one large like commune, like we were talking. But my parents now live with my brother and his and their children. So it's three generations. But there is still something about, and that's like linking back to the beginning of the show when I was thinking about them and their friends, while they still have that connection to family and they still have that connection to humans, they lost their connection to their friends. Mm-hmm. And that so while we were created to be a group, we were like a group. We had our tribe, we had our village, and we had our mates and our children and all that, and our family. We still had our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost that during COVID.
Yeah.
And all, I mean, so, even kids, even our children, our daughters and my son, and through COVID, we've lost mm-hmm. that.
Well, yeah, my oldest daughter was living in Chicago, and she, for, it was almost 2 years, and she has family, we have family there, so she had a support system, but she didn't really have any long-term friends there, because she was in eighth grade when we left, and she had started making friends, she was, you know, taking like yoga training, but then lockdown happened, and then she decided to come here, and all of those friendships, you know, kind of dissolved. And now she's happily back in Cincinnati, where, you know, now she has a social structure. And she was like, mm-hmm. she texted me, she's like, I think I've been more social in the last month than I have like all of last year. Like she was she's happy.
Mm-hmm.
She's happy.
Well, and I think I think we're beginning to see the end of COVID, the light, you know, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And there are many aspects of coming out of COVID that we're realizing. Mm-hmm. And that connection to friends, that bond of friendship is huge, whether you're in school or all the way to in your elder years. And while we can say, oh, I miss it, and it's just a friend. I can talk to them on the phone. There's actual, you know, like we can now see the science, the data. No, we need that bond. We are supposed to have that bond. We're built to create that connection with another human, not your mate that you live with. And you
know, it's need a plus. That. Yeah. It's a plus if you're friends with your mate.
Yeah, sure. That will be another show. Yeah. But I mean, it is, you need that bestie that mm-hmm. will pick the bugs off you and, you know, groom you and, you know, and tell you your chin hair is a little too long. And we need that. And I think if anything from the show today is just to acknowledge the friends that you do have, the friends that you are missing, and maybe just make that connection with them, because we need the oxytocin in our bodies.
Yeah. Reach out. Don't be afraid to reach out and say, you know, let's catch up. Yeah. So if you have any interest after this lively conversation of learning more about Leone, you can go over to her website. Yep. It's leonedyer.com. That's Dyer, D-Y-E-R. And you can find out more about her empowerment coaching. And if you enjoyed today's show, that's even better, because as we mentioned a little bit ago, we are going to have a show on the network. Don't have a launch date, but stay tuned for that. We all have a story to tell. We had a great story today, didn't we? Mm-hmm. You can live in the story, or you can transform the story. It's your choice. But when you change your story, you can change the world. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great day. Let's go out.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.